Of Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis, two lines up from the bottom, the Mishnah had established that Shomer Chinam in a Nishbal like Deshos, etc. In other words, we have all those categories with the Klal Pratu Klal to exclude, in this case, Shavua and Einish Barnal like Deshos. Reminu. The Gemara asks the following stira from a Mishnah in Shkolim Perik Beis. Bnei ha'ir sheshalchu eshikleihem v'nignavu osha avdu. So back in the day, there was a mitzvah which is derived from the Torah itself that every person has to give a machzis ha'shekel annually to the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, that mitzvah doesn't apply today. It applied only when the Mikdash was standing, but applied even in Chutz Laretz. And on the first of Adar, they would notify the people to prepare their shkolim. On the 15th of Adar, they would set up tables in every state, in every district, and receive these shkolim. And on the 25th of the month, they began to call in those who didn't pay, and they would take a mashkin, some sort of collateral. They brought the shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash. There were two tevos, wide tevos. They were structured in such a way that they were wide on the outside and narrow towards the bottom, so that no one could take any of the mos for himself. It was like a shofar, it was called. They were called shofros. On one was written Taklin Chadatin, the new shkolim. On the other one, Taklin Atikin, the old shkolim. And in that shofar that had Taklin Atikin, they would put anyone who had not paid his shekel from the past year would put his shekel into that particular shofar, that particular teva. And in every single medina, they would collect the shkolim from the members of that medina, those who lived locally, and they were sent, these monies, these coins were sent to the Beis HaMikdash with shluchim. The shluchim would collect everything and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. There, the monies from the various shluchim were collected together in a lishka, at a certain office. They would take these shkolim and fill up three different kupos. Anything that didn't fit into the three kupos was called shiari al-lishka. And there were different dinim that applied to the lishka, to the shiari al-lishka. Basically, the karbonos tzibur were taken from the lishka, that's called the trumas halishka, and the shiari halishka, those monies were used to build the city itself, its walls and its towers. So three times during the year, they would be toremes halishka. It was always 15 days before the chag, whether it's Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos. And the Seder HaTrumah was such that they would take from the Shalosh Kupos and fill up three other Kupos that were smaller than them. They would use these Mos for the Karbonos Tzibur. If there weren't enough Mos there, then they would take from the Shiari HaLishka. Now, what happened if on the way, when these Shlichim were bringing the shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash, something happened? It was stolen, it was lost, and the shkolim never actually arrived in the Beis HaMikdash. In that case, we have to guarantee that every member of Klal Yisrael has a chelek, has a portion in the Karbonos Tzibur. So what would they do? Imagine the scenario, an entire city sent chatzi shekel, which with these shluchim, and these coins were never were received. They were stolen. Now, let's assume that these shluchim were not paid, and therefore they have vis-a-vis their responsibility, the responsibility that they have vis-a-vis the coins is that of a shomer chinam, and therefore they're parted from Gneva Aveda. And we're going to soon see that they're going to have to take a shvua to swear that they were not poshea. And that's going to be a question here because we're dealing with Hegdesh, and we just finished saying that a shomer chinam is eno nishbal a Hegdesh. But before we get to that, we're going to see now that the Mishnah in Shkolim refers to what's called Trumas HaLishka, where these coins were taken from one chamber, and that's called the Lishka, used to buy, as we said before, the sacrifices, the Korbanos Tzibur, and they were taken out of the Lishka three times a year before the Yom Tovim. And once they were collected, or let's say when they removed from one teva, and then they were placed into another designated lishka, fine. Now, if every Jew has to get a share in the Korbanos Tzibur, then even though when the Truma was implemented, not all the coins were taken from the Kupos Gedolos and put into the Ketupos Ketanos, so let's say you were the donor whose coin was left in the original Lishka, it doesn't matter. Since your coin reached the Lishka, you already acquired ownership as a partner in the Korbanos Tzibur. But if someone's coin, you know, somebody donated a coin, but it never actually reached the Lishka, so how do we guarantee him a shutvis, a chelik in the Korbanos Tzibur? So the halacha is, that's what the Mishnah establishes, im mishenitrama truma nishbayin legizbarim. Okay, that's going to be at the beginning of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. So let's try to understand what goes on over here. The law is, the din is like this. If the donor was unaware of the fact that the coins were lost at the time of the Trumas HaLishka, as Terminus HaLishka, which said took place three times a year, then he nevertheless gets a share in the Korbanos Tzibur. However, if he became aware of the loss before the Truma, then there's going to have to be a replacement of those shkolim in order to guarantee the donor a chelek in the truma. Because at the time of the truma, he was aware of the loss. Now, the Mishnah itself is going to focus on the responsibility of the shliach. In this case, it was stolen or lost. And the Mishnah says that the shliach himself has to take a shvua, and to whom does he take the shvua? So again, mishenitrima hatruma, if the members of the city, that particular city that sent their shkolim with a particular shliach, they didn't know about the theft or the loss until after the Afrasha's Truma, then is Nishboin Lagizborin. In other words, as far as the Bailam are concerned, since they're going to get in any event a Chelek in the Truma, because there was no Yediyah about the Gneva the Aveda at the time of the Afrasha of the Trumas HaLishka, so the Bailam didn't lose anything. They have a chelik in the Korban Tzibur in any event. However, on the tzad that the shluch, the shliach did not provide the proper shmirah, he was poshea. And since the truma was nitrima before the yediyas b'nei ha'ir, and they therefore achieved a chelik in the truma, then it's hegdesh that takes the loss. Because now the bialim don't have a responsibility to replace the shkolim that were lost. They already achieved their goal. They already have a shutfis in the karbonos tzibur. And yet, who takes the loss now? It's the hegdesh. And therefore, the shliach has to take a shvua to the gizbar. The gizbar is the representative of hegdesh. So since there was no yediyah until after the afrasha, therefore the shliach has to take the shvua to the gizbar. And the oath has to establish that he was not poshea. And all this is again because the fact that there's no chiyuv on the part of the torim to replace the shekel. So the liability here of the shliach on the tzad that he was poshea is vis-a-vis hegdesh itself. So let him take a shvua to the gizbar. That's case number one. V'im lav. Then the Mishnah continues. Let's say that the bialim, the members of that city, were aware of the fact, they were notified, that their shkolim never made it to the lishka before the truma was actually separated. Then the members of the city now have to replace the shkolim in order to achieve a chelik in the karbonos tzibur. And therefore, the tarmim that from that city have a claim against the shliach because they have to shell out of pocket to replace the shkolim. And in such a case, the Mishnah establishes nishboim libnei ha'ir, the shvua is to be taken by the shliach in front of the bnei ha'ir, and then bnei ha'ir shoklim achreim tachtehem. Once the shliach has exempt himself from any liability, took a shvua that he wasn't negligent, then the members of the city will now have to replace the shkolim to the mikdash. And the reason for that is because once they knew about it by the time what we call the Shas Truma, what we call as Torminus Esalishka, those 15 days before each Yontif, they now have responsibility to somehow hook into the Karbonos Tzibur. That's their responsibility. They can only do so by replacing their coins, their shkolim, with a replacement set of shkolim. Now the Gizbarim are really, in a sense, losing nothing over here, because the amount of money coming into the lishka is exactly the same. So there's no point to asking the shliach to take a shvua to the gizbar representing hegdesh, but rather to the bnei ha'ir, because they're the ones who are losing and suffer the loss as a result of this theft. But one thing is clear, that if the bnei ha'ir come to a din Torah with the shliach after afrasha satruma, right, because there was no knowledge of the Gnei Vafed before the Afrash Satruma, then the Shliach doesn't have to take a Shvua to the Bnei Ha'ir. The Bnei Ha'ir are off the hook. They don't have to replace their Shkolin. And that's the principle called Tarmin Al Ha'ovud, which is quoted here in the top Tosfos here, Divra Maschil Nishbayim. On the third line, you'll see Tarmin Al Ha'ovud. And it's a magical kind of halacha that when the process of Torminus Halishka takes place, there somehow is a hatroma, even for shkolim that aren't actually physically located in the Lishka. Now, Tosfos is bothered because there's a brisa that Tormin ala avud v'ala gavui, which according to Rashi, avud means it was nevad b'yad ha-shliach before it came to the Mikdash. So why did the Tana have to tell us that tormin ala gavui, which was not nevad? I mean, if you tormin on a nevad, that's magical aloch, then certainly on that which was collected. The Mishnah also says, "Bnei Ha'ir Sheshalchu Shalchu Shekleim V'Nignevu Osha Avdu Im Mishenitrima Truma Nishboim Lagizborim." The Mishnah seems to indicate that if the Gneva took place after the Nitrima Truma, then the Shvuah would be to the Gizborim, and that's against Rashi, who says that they came to din after the truma. The Tosa says that tarmim in a avud, that's in a case where the shkolim already reached the yad of the gizbar and they were lost in the hands of the gizbar. That's what it means, tarmim al avud. A whole different pshat than Rashi. But in any event, the Mishnah continues and says, nimtzu oshe hechziru maganovim, the lost coins were found, or they located the thieves, and the thieves, you know, had to pay, and they paid the shkolim. Now, this is a case where the Bnei Ha'ir have already paid up to replace the first set of coins. Is elu ve'elu shkolim em lehegdish. Hegdish is the beneficiary here. They're going to get a second round of shkolim, which they collect either because they found the lost shkolim or from the ganovim. And the reason for that is because once the first set of shkolim were separated, were designated as hegdesh, then that status of hegdesh is not poka. It's not removed. V'ein olam lahem l'shana ba. You might think that since Hegdesh now has the original Shkolim, let the replacement Shkolim be on account for the next year. Every year annually you have to give your Shkolim. No. We haven't yet begun the new annual collection of Shkolim. In any event, one thing is crystal clear from this Mishnah. The Shluchim have to take a Shvuah vis-a-vis the Gizbar of Izvi, the Bailim, the Bnei Ha'ir, on Hegdesh. And the question is, doesn't that contradict our Mishnah, that Shomer Chinuv doesn't take a Shvuah on Hegdesh? Now, the Rashba wants to know, maybe the Shvuah of the Shliach is a different Shvuah. That's a Shvuah of Eino Bershusi. And he says that the halacha of Einish Bon al Avodim Shtaris Karkos and Ekdeshos is not only limited to the Shvuah Shlo Pasha, but it patters up the Shomer even from a Shvuah She'eino Bershuso. And that's in fact the Sheet Saramba. The Ravid in Hilchos Tovim V'Nitta Perkei disagrees. He writes about the Rambam Teima Gedoluze. In any event, according to the Ravid, we have a problem. Why did the Gemara give a teretz that the Mishnah Shkolim regarding the Shliach taking a Shvuah was referring not to the Shvuah of Lo Pasha, but the Shvuah of Eina Bershuso? Maybe because the Mishnah says Nignevu Osha Avdu, meaning we knew and we know for sure that it was stolen. So therefore there's no need to demand a Shvuah from the Shliach of Eina Bershusi. So that's what we have so far. Now Shmuel is going to offer a reconciliation of the Mishnah and Shkolim with our Mishnah. Hacha, the Mishnah and Shkolim, is Benosei Sachar Askinon. We're talking about a Shliach who is paid for his services. Otherwise, how does he support his family? V'nishboyen litol scharam. This shvuah has nothing to do with the classical shvuah sashomrim. The mechayev of the shvuah here is not to exempt the shomer, i.e. the shliach, from the litigation, the lawsuit against him, because he was poshea, but rather there's another machayev, a whole different essence of the shvuah. The shliach wants to collect his funds, and the shliach, although he's exempt, he's alleviated from a shvuah shalo pasha, because we have the exclusion of karka, and in this case of hegdesh from shvuah. However, if the shliach now becomes not the defendant, the nitba, but the toveya, to demand from the members of the city that they pay his fee because he provided the shmira, then the halacha is that the shliach has to take a shvuah that he's not holding on to the shekel. The Bnei Ha'ir had entrusted their coins into the hands of the shliach, and the shliach is not possessing the coins. Again, we have to see how that works with what we discussed earlier in the Ravid. Now, if this be the case, then let's say the shkolim were lost or they were stolen before the shluchim were able to deliver it. Why should they deserve to be paid their fee when Lamaisa they didn't provide the service that they were hired for? So let's say they take an oath that they're not, hoarding or stealing the shkolim, but it doesn't make sense that the people who hired them should have to cough up their fees when Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the service that they were meant to provide and they were commissioned for was never provided. So that question we'll see soon. But first, the Gemara is going to object on a different level. Yihachi nishban legizbarim. Why does the Mishnah say that there's a shvua to the gizbar? Here the shvua is to the bailim, the Bnei Ha'ir. The Bnei Ha'ir mi baile, the only one who's relevant, who has a claim here to demand a shvua from the shliach, or the Bnei Ha'ir who are being obligated to pay a fee for the services of the shliach. Omar Rabba says, in the light of Shmuel's interpretation, we have to sharpen up the Mishnah a little bit, embellish it a little bit. The Mishnah is not talking about the shliach taking a shvuah to the gizbar, but rather nishbon libnei ha'ir b'maimar gizbar. The shvuah is certainly for the bnei ha'ir, otherwise the bnei ha'ir don't have to pay the fee. But the shvuah has to be implemented in the presence of the gizbar. And why is that so? Because after all, these shluchim are, constantly being sent and appointed by the gizbar in order to retrieve from the Bnei Ha'ir in the various districts, the various medinos, the coins that are being donated for the sake of Hegdesh. And it's very important that the shliach, insofar as he did not successfully provide the service and fork over these shkolim to the gizbar, that the shluchim should not lose their reputation in the eyes of the gizbar, otherwise they'll be fired from the job. Ki eichid lo nachshedinu, so that the gizbarim should not be choshed. The shluchim of embezzling this money. Inami, ki eichid lo likulu poshim. Even if they're not going to be choshesh that the gizbar actually stole the money, but they'll be choshed that they were poshea b'shmirasan. Now, what does that mean that they were poshea b'shmirasan? So the Rambam says, "Shal yachshidu b'hem sha'asu es ha'shluchim shomrei chinam v'lo shomrei sachar sheba'ofen kazeh poshu ha'shluchim." There's another possibility here. Hechi de Lonach Shedinu is referring to a chashash, a chashad of the Gizborim vis-a-vis the Bnei Ha'ir, that maybe the Bnei Ha'ir never actually delivered the shkolin. In any event, the Gemara now raises the following objection. Von nignivu osha avdu ktani. Nuns, the Mishnah says that the coins were either stolen or they were lost. V'shomer socha b'gnev v'avedech yuvim achayve. So a shomer sochar is chayv to protect against gneva and aveda, correct? And the question therefore is hachanami nehi deshlume lo meshalmeim, but agrayu mi lafsin, meaning, even if you'll tell me that the shluchim did not embezzle the funds, that really doesn't clinch it, because what we have to know is why do they have a right to demand payment for their service? I understand that they don't have to replace the lost shkolim that was stolen or lost, because we have this mute that were excluded Hegdesh from Tashlume Shomrim, fine. But Agrayu Mila Lafsid, in any event, they shouldn't be paid for their Shmira, because their Achrayus, their commitment, was to protect these Mos from Gneva Veda, which they didn't do, and therefore they should not be able to demand payment. The fee should be suspended. The Cheshek Shlomo of Shlomo Klugi says, Shomer Sochar Shemeshalim is Dmeah Pikodin Lebailov, Areza Kishe Kehishlim is Malachto Vinot Eschar Shmirasa. I mean, if the Shomer Sochar pays, you know, to replace the object, then you could say, now I demand my fee. But here he's not paying for the object and he's demanding his fee. That makes no logical sense. And basically what the Gemara is saying here in so many words is that although this prat klal, this klal pratu klal, is going to pater the shomer from tashlumin, but he still has chiyuve shmira, and his schar as a shomer sochar is being paid for that shmira. So the Torah never said that he doesn't have to do any shmira. That would be ridiculous. That's ludicrous. He's being paid for the shmira. Omar Rabba. Rabba says, Nignavu balista mizuyin avdu shetavas vinosa bayam. That the case that we're talking about is not a normal gneva vaveda, for which a shomer sochar is chayiv, but an extreme case of ones where even a shomer sochar is pot. Shomer sochar is chayiv for gneva vaveda, but not for onsim. How does gneva vaveda become onsim? Says Rabba, in one of two ways, either because it was in a ship that fell to the bottom of the sea, shipwreck, or because there were armed robbers that stole these shkolim, which seems to indicate to me that the shliach is really putting his life on the line when he comes collecting all this money and brings it to Yerushalayim. I mean, the list of mizuyim are waiting in ambush. So again, although a shomer sochar is responsible for gneva v'aveda, and that's why he's paid, nevertheless, the Torah exempts him. He's totally exonerated from responsibility to watch it against this extreme kind of case of lista mizuyin. And therefore, he can actually claim that he fulfilled his responsibility, his duties, vis-a-vis the shkolim of Shmira. And there were circumstances beyond his control this armed robbery or a sea or a ship that sunk at sea, that is unavoidable. That's not something within the purview of his achrayus, of his chiyuv shmirah, and therefore the shliach has a right to claim that he satisfied his duty, filled his responsibility to protect against the ordinary gnev aveda, and therefore he's entitled to be paid. That's what we have here. Now the Gemara gives an alternative answer to the contradiction between the Mishnah and Shkolim and our Mishnah, alternative to Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. The Mishnah and Shkolim reflects the authorship of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Davar Gom L'Mamon K'Mamon Dami. And the Omar Kodshim Shechai Bach Yusim Yesh Lem Ona V'Nishboim Aleihem, that in the case of Kodshim which have to be replaced by the person who is Magdish them in a case where they're lost, that's called Momen Bailim. That's called private ownership. That's Kodshim Shechai Bach Yusim. For example, the classical case of Harel Lai, which means that if this animal that he designates is lost or stolen or dies, he has to replace it with another animal. And that's why those kachma considered his private ownership, according to Rav Shimon. It's a davar goyim l'mamon k'mamon. And if it's private ownership, then the klal pratu klal that excludes ono or shvua in the case of Hegdesh doesn't apply. And therefore, in Shkolim, we could say that the Bnei Ha'ir took upon themselves achrayus, like in the case of Arei Lai in Behemoth Kodshim, such that these Shkolim are still theirs. They're going to have to replace them in the event that they're lost. And therefore, the Shliach has to take a Shvuah vis-a-vis the Bailim, the Bnei Ha'ir, not midin Mamon Hegdesh, because there's no Shvuah in Mamon Hegdesh, but midin Mamon Bailim, because the case of the Shkolim is a case of Achrayus, just like the case of Arei Olai. So it's a very unique situation here, when the Shkolim are sent by the Bnei Ha'ir in the hands of the Shluchim to the Mikdash, they, the Bnei Ha'ir, still own those Shkolim. And therefore, if this shliach is a shomer vis-a-vis the bailim, who are the Bnei Ha'ir that sent these shkolim in their hands, the Bnei Ha'ir have a right to demand a shvuah, like any case of a shomer who doesn't produce the object, doesn't return the object. So the Gemara says the following: Ha teinach ad shalom nitruma trumasa hatruma. That makes sense in a case where the Bailim found out about the Gneva before the Truma Salishka. Because then they are Chayv Bachrayis and they have to replace the Shkolim. But Misha Nitra Matruma, if after the Nitra Matruma, that's when the Bailim found out about it, and that's when we said the Hegdesh will swallow the loss, and the Bailim are not obligated to replace those Shkolim, is Kodshim Shenu Chayv Bachra Yuso Ninu, then the halacha of Rav Shimon is totally irrelevant here, because since the Bnei Ha'ir, the Bailim and Achayev and Achrayus, to replace these Shkolim with another set of Shkolim, therefore the most, the Shkolim belong to Hegdesh, and therefore once again the Shliach should be parted from a Shvuah. And the Mishnah clearly addresses both cases. So therefore, the Gemara is going to bring a proof now that if the Bailim find out about the Gneva after the Truma was Nitruma, they don't have to replace it. The Sanya Tormin Allah Avut. That was that magical Brisa that we saw Tosus quoted on the third line from the top of the page. Which means that if a person sent his shekel with a shliach and it was lost on the way, and the Bailim didn't find out about it until after the Truma, Yalagavui, if somebody sends a shekel, through a courier, through a shliach, and it hasn't reached the Beis HaMikdash yet, Yala Asid Ligvos, or even if someone has not yet sent his shekel, but he will send the shekel after Zman, is a truma that's separated on those, non-existing shkolim. And that proves that the Bailim are off the hook. They don't have a chrayus. And you cannot invoke, therefore, the principle of Rabbi Meir, of Kachim Shechai Vachra Yusam. So again, let's just summarize. Since the Gizbarim with Torim, even on an Avud, and therefore the Bnei Yir do not have to replace their Shkolim, it's not Kodshim Shechai Vachrusim, and even Rav Shimon would be Moda, that the status of these Mos is not Moment Bailim, but rather Moment Hegdesh, and there's no Shvua. So what's going on in the Mishnah in Shkolim? Ela Amar Rabbi Lazar. In truth, this Shvua is to potter up the payment, even in the case of a Shomer Chinam. Not, like we said before, in order to allow the Shomer Socher to collect his schar and pay it. But Shvua, Zu Takonis Chachami, Shaloyu Bnei Adam, Zalzalin, Begdeshos. Even though on a Torah level, the Shomer does not have to take a Shvua on Momen Hegdesh, the Rabbanon made a separate Takona. This reminds us of the first Mishnah in Bav Metzia, of Shnai Mochs Metalis, a separate Takona Shvua, in order to guarantee that people would be very careful about the Shmira of Hegdesh and not be light about it, knowing that they don't have to take a Shvua. And therefore the Shomer, in this case the Shliach, would have to take a Shvua, Shalom Pasha B'Shmirasa. So just to summarize, Rabbi Lazar is suggesting that the shluchim are definitely of the status of a shomer chinam, and they definitely, according to Torah law, do not have to take the shvu on Hegdesh, but we want to make sure that these shluchim treat the Hegdesh with a very heavy, profound mode of seriousness. They have to take a Shvua midrabanan in order to now if you take a look at Rashi, it seems that the Shvua that they're taking here is a Shvua vis-a-vis the Bailim, because Rashi on the second of the white line says Li Potim in Atashlumin Ubishomer Schinom. The Rambam actually goes ahead and says that even if the Bailim would say, you know what, we'll replace the Shkolim, and let's alleviate the shliach from his obligation to take a shvua, and try to get him out of this takonis chachamim shvua, it would not work. In any event, there's an absolute requirement imposed by the chachamim on the shlichim that they have to take the shvua. And therefore, we understand the Mishnah in Shkolim that if the shliach, if the shliach lost the shkolim, and the donors were aware of this loss before the trumas halishka, then the shliach will take a shvua to the gizbar, because again it's the migdash that's absorbing this loss. If on the other hand the bailim found out about this lost this Gneva Aveda after the Trumas Alishka, then it is the Shliach himself who now becomes liable for the loss to replace it, and therefore he has to take the Shvua. The Mishnah continues and says, Nosei Sochar Eino Mishalim, which means that in the case of Avonim, Karkol, Shtoros, and Egdeshos, a Shomer Socher does not have to pay for Gneva of Aveda. Rami Le, Rav Yosef Bar Chomo L'Rabba. We have a stira between our Mishnah and another Mishnah. Is Tnan. From our Mishnah, I guess, to a Braisa. Tnan, our Mishnah says, No say Socher in a Mishalim. Urimini, I have a brisa that says, in the case of a gizbar of Hegdesh, HaSocher Sapoel, Lishmar Esapora, if the gizbar hires a poel, a worker, who is going to take care of Mamon Hegdesh as a, you know, as a hired worker. In this case, Lishmar Sapora. Now, usually when it says Hapora, it's a reference to the Paraduma. And the Paraduma, as you know, has to be carefully supervised, that it shouldn't get blemished. And also that no work should be placed on its back. Lishmar Satinok. Alternatively, there was a special group of children that were raised in the Migdash, Bitara, to make sure that they could provide the service of the Paraduma Bitara and achieve Mechatos for the people of Israel, and somebody would be hired to protect the Tinok and supervise over the child to make sure that he would not come into contact with any tumor. Or Lishmar Zasroim, or he was hired for the Korban Omer. They have to make sure that the Zera, the seed that was planted, will be perfectly guarded so that it will eventually produce the barley for the Korban Omer. Is Ein Nosin Lo Schar Shabbos. In all these cases, since he's hired by the day, then he cannot be paid for a melech that he does on Shabbos, because that would be specified as melech Shabbos. Later on we'll see that if it's havla, if he wasn't hired per day's work, but rather for a longer period of time, that's okay. Lefichach, if he's not going to be paid for Shabbos, is einach raya Shabbos olav. That's something went wrong on Shabbos, you cannot claim that he's responsible. He's not a shomer. Hoya schir Shabbos. If somebody is paid Shabbos, it means a week, for a week's work. Schir chodesh, or for a month's work. Schir shon, of an annual fee, an annual payment of service. Or schir shavua. Shavua here means 7 years, a whole Shemitah cycle. He's no slo schar Shabbos. Now there's halach of havla. In other words, there was no payment designated singled out for Shabbos. Then even on Shabbos, he remains a shomer. Ulefichach, achrayus Shabbos olav. He is responsible for anything that happens on Shabbos, because his responsibility encompasses the entire week, the entire month, the entire year, or 7 years. My love, Samora says, what does this mean that Achrayus Shabbos Olav? Doesn't it mean L'shalim? That in event that the object was lost or stolen, then he'll have to pay to replace it. Like, for example, the Zeroyim for the Korban Omer. Or the animal that's going to be used for a paraduma, whatever it might be. Now, this would contradict our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that when it comes to Hegdesh, there is no Chiyuv Shmira. So Rabba, in response to Rav Yosef, says, lo, Brisa doesn't mean that he has to pay for Nezikin. Hegdesh is excluded from Tashlumei Shomrim. But what is the Achrayus here? Lahafsid scharo, that it means we're going to deduct from his fee because of what happened on Shabbos. So even though these shomrim do not have to pay for the loss of the object, since it's Hegdesh, but on the other hand, on a level of a contract law, these people have no right to demand a fee, because they did not protect, as they were contracted to do, the object from being lost, from being destroyed. So the shmir was not provided. The Gemara says, "Ihachi, Reisha Diktoni Einach Raiv Shabbos Olav. The Reisha the Brisa says that in a case where he's being paid per day, there's no achrayus for Shabbos. If something gets, you know, destroyed on Shabbos, is hachinami delehefzei tzcharo. What does it mean? He's not responsible. It means he doesn't lose his wages. Miyaslei tzchar Shabbos. The whole point is that he cannot be taking wages for Shabbos. So what do you mean he lost his wage? The whole essence of this brisa is that you don't pay a worker if he's paid per day for Shabbos. So what does it mean he loses his wages? I mean, the havmina was without the brisa that he should lose his schar. He can't take schar for Shabbos. Ishtik. So at this point, Rabba didn't have an answer. Omer le. So Rabba turns to Rav Yosef, Midi Shmielach Baha. Maybe you heard something about this. Omer le. So Rav Yosef Bar Chama responds, Hachi Omer Rav Sheshes. This is what I heard of the name Rav Sheshes. Kishakonu Bishakonu Miyodo. What's Bishakonu Miyodo? In other words, the Shomer took upon himself a special Maisa Kinyan, a special Chalipin, a Kinyan Suda, that if something some damage happens and his Shmir is not up to par, then he's Meshabit himself and his Nechasim to Hegdesh, even though, again, strictly Al Pidin is Patur. V'chein Omer Rabbi Yochanan Bishakanu Miyado. So a person through a Kinyan Suda can take upon himself an obligation which he's technically, legally not bound to take upon himself, and he creates a Shibud on his own property, and that's what this Shomer did. He took a Shibud on his own property to guarantee the Achrayus that he was assuming in the case that the Hegdish is lost, and this again is accomplished by Kinyan Sudar. And the Brisa really agrees with that Mishnah then. There's no stira here. A paid Shomer is not liable to pay for Hegdesh, but the Brisa is discussing a case where he took upon himself an explicit or independent achrayus and shibud for liability to pay for loss, and he clinched this by a Kinyan Sudar. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said as well. Now we go back to the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kodshim Shechai Bachrayus Bachrayus and Yeshlem Ona She'eno Chai Bachrivi She'eno Chai Bachrivi She'eno Lem Ona. Meaning, is it Momon Hegdish or Momon Bailim? As far as Dini Ona, it depends whether it's Chai Bachrayus or not. Toni Tano Kameid Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Abba. We have a Braisa that was taught in front of Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Abba regarding the din of a shomer who denied in court that he had the pikadon. He took an oath and he perjured himself. Now he admits and he's chayiv to bring a korban asham. And the brisa says that if somebody was mafkid into the hands of the shomer kodshim, shuchai bachri yusan. In other words, a person took upon himself a pledge of arei lie, and then he designated a behema for the fulfillment of his pledge. And now he gives this animal over to the shomer and tells the shomer to watch the animal. The shomer went ahead and stole the animal. In other words, he took a shvua sheker. Now he admits he's chayev. The shomer has to bring a korban asham shani kori bahen, because now I can apply the yardstick of the Torah when it says vayikra hei nefesh kisechtu malmal bashem v'kichesh. In other words, there seems to be a ribui here in this pasuk, according to the Braisa, that Mamon Hegdesh generates a din of korban shvua. Visha eno chayev bachrayuson, potu shnei korban bahem be'amiso v'kichesh. So this brisa seems to be reflecting the sheet of Rav Shimon, that if he took upon himself harei alai, and then he was mafresh behema, so in that case, the shomer would have to take a carbon shvua because it's v'kichesh, meaning it's a case of momen bailim. But if it's edel chai bachris and he's potter because it becomes hegdish, and hegdish was excluded from a carbon shvua. But the problem is that if you read carefully, the ratio where he's chayev is derived from the pasuk Bashem v'kichesh, which means that we're being marba momen hegdish to generate a carbon shvua. Doesn't make any sense because we're talking about kodshim shechayev lachar yusim. That's not momen hegdish going to Rav Shimon. It's momen bailim. And the seifa when it says he's potter from shvuas carbon, that's because b'amito v'kichesh. Amito as opposed to hegdish. There's a problem in this brisa because the brisa lechor is saying, and that's what I think Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba is about to object, that if the magdish is chayv b'achrayuson, then the hegdish is hegdish l'Hashem. Whereas if he's not chayv b'achrayuson, then it's considered momen bailim. I mean, Omalei, Rav Yitzchak says kapilai punkfaker. It's just the opposite. Ibchom is stavra. Let's turn to Nun Chesam and Beis. The opposite should be true. In other words, what's more mistaver is that if the magdish has a chrayus, then lechora it belongs to him. It's momen bailim. Why would the brisa say it's just the opposite? It belongs l'Hashem. That if he's chayv achrayus, it's l'Hashem. If he has no achrayus, then it belongs to him. Amalei ismei. So at this point, the Tana who brought this brisa to Rabbi Yitzchak says, should I just simply erase this brisa from the record and assume it's not a valid brisa? There were many brises that were mishubeshtos. Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak responded, lo, you don't really have to go that far. Hachi komar. Let's reinterpret the brisa. Kodshim shechai b'achrayuson. If he has to replace this animal, if it's lost, and he gave it over to a shomer, and then the shomer stole it by being kofer, and he took a shvua, and then he admits, is chayav, he has to bring the asham gzelos, the carbon shvua. Why? Because amito, that's what does it mean, amito? That it's momon bailim. Now, if there's a tzad of momen gavoa, nevertheless, since israbu mi b'ashem v'kichesh, that kodshim she'enu chai v'achrayisim potur, t'imayit mi b'amiso v'kichesh. So the classical chiyuv of a korban asham is when he takes a shvu about chulin, not hegdesh. And that's called v'kichesh. Be'amiso. Amiso means his fellow. Okay? So he denies that he has to pay for property that belongs to his fellow, and he took a shvua. He now admits he has to bring a korban. But the Torah says, Umala mal b'ashem, indicating that to some extent, there's some element of b'ashem over here. Meaning that there's an Hashem Gzelos even for something that's Hegdesh. It belongs to Hashem. So what does it mean? On the one hand, you're saying that it's B'Amiso. On the other hand, you're saying B'Hashem. How do you combine those two? And the answer is that if it's something which is B'Hashem, because it does have an element of Hegdesh to it, but it's also B'Amito, because it's kodshim shechayev b'achrayus, and therefore this moment bailim, then the shomer is chayev a korban shvua. and he brings the Yashan. But if, on the other hand, the Shomer took an oath, a false Shvuah, about something that's pure Hegdesh, and the Magdish has no Achlayis whatsoever, he said, Arezu, that's only the Kichesh Bashem. You don't have the additional element I mentioned of Bamiso. His responsibility is only to Hashem, to Hegdesh, and therefore the Shomer is potter from bringing an Hashem Gzelos. So when the Brisa says that if he took a shvuah sheker about something that's Hegdesh, and there was no Achrayus, then the Shomer is exempt, he's potter from an Hashem Gzelos, and that's why it says Bamiso, meaning that there's got to be some element of Amiso here, but if there was no Kabbalah Sachrayis, there's no Amiso at all. Rabbi Yehuda quotes the next part of the Mishnah, Af HaMocher Sefer Torah Margolios Ubehema. Let's say someone in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, someone who sells a Sefer Torah, or Margolis is a precious stone, a pearl, or a behema, somebody steals an animal. Ein lahem ona. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af HaMocher Sefer Torah, Ein la ona, Lefisha Ein Kates Lidameha. In other words, no matter how much you pay for a Sefer Torah, it's never enough. So to say that there's fraud, there's some sort of a discrepancy in the price, and therefore there's a din of onah, that doesn't make any sense. So even if you overcharge some for a Sefer Torah, it's never considered overcharging. It's never onah, because the Sefer Torah ain't locates. And then, Behema Margolis ain't lem onah. Why is that so? An animal or a jewel? Mipnei Adam rotze lizavgan. In other words, let's say he wants to pair it off with something that he owns. So let's say sometimes if you have an ox of a certain strength, you want to pair it off with another ox of a similar strength. If to put them together working and under the same yoke, and one is weak and one is strong, that's not good. So therefore, if I own a strong ox, I'm going to be willing to pay as much as I have to pay, because for another strong ox, because I definitely need it. Well, for example, let's have an earring, and I need to pair it off with a second earring, and the first earring looks like this, it has a certain stone in it. He wants to get a matching earring. He'll pay whatever he has to. And therefore, in these cases, says Rabbi Yehuda, since a person is rotzel lizavgam, it'll pay whatever he has to pay, then there's no onah. Amru lo, the chachomim respond, v'alo akol adam rotzel lizavgan. Is it really true that a person is willing to pay any price whatsoever in order to find the matching, the matching pair? In other words, the Torah legislates against onah, again, and prohibits overcharging. Anytime a person buys something, you're going to say, well, he needs it as a pair to something. So then you've completely undermined the law of onah. Rabbi Yehuda, now let's try and understand Rabbi Yehuda. Hani chashivale, Vani lo chashivale. These cases of a behema, of a tachshit, or he calls it a margolis, these are very exceptional cases. There's chashivi, it's very, very important. He's really willing to overpay, if need be. I know, for example, in the art market, somebody wants to buy a Rembrandt, they'll pay through the nose. Crazy prices in auctions. I remember somebody wanted to get a hold of the Ramah's copy of the Mor Nevuchim with the Ramah's own comments on the Rambam. I mean, it went for crazy amounts. Somebody wants it, he's willing to pay. But Hani Lokshi, for other things, even though, again, he wants to buy them, but they're not so important to him that he'll willing to pay through the roof. And therefore, those are subject, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, to the Din of Onah. The Adkama. Now, let's clarify. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're saying that you can charge 10 times the market price for the pair of earrings, for the second earring? Omar Meir Ad Kidei Demeyem. In other words, up until another 100% of the value of the object. But if it's above 100%, meaning you charge him 200%, that's already onah, even in the case of Margolis and Behem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya, and we have a brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Af Hamocher Sus V'Sayof V'Chatitom B'Molchama V'Pnei She'esh Behem Chai Nefesh. There are other cases where a person would pay Ein Lem Onah V'Pnei She'esh Lem Chai Nefesh. Let's say you're selling a sword, you know. This is like what goes on in the market today with weapons and bombs and stuff like that. So somebody's selling a horse, or he's selling a sayif. You know, it's a kli zayin that you need in war, or chatitom is a sword. A shield that you need to protect yourself if you're in hand combat, is elem onah. You know, you'll pay through the roof. Person's prepared to pay much, you know, way beyond the evaluated price in the market for something that they need at a time of war. It's a protection of the life. Imagine if you don't have water to drink and someone is offering you water, you'll pay whatever you have to pay for water. And there's all sorts of stories in the Gemara and the Agadot in Gittin about these cases. So there's no onah. So we'll stop here, Rabbosai, and in the next shiur we'll start the Mishnah.